seeking the Lord's blessing for a few moments, let's turn together to the second passage that we read in the book of Judges and at chapter 5. Judges and at chapter 5. And we're going to take for our text this evening verse 7. Judges chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's read this verse again. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. I want us to give special attention, really, to Deborah and also her own designation that she speaks of herself as a mother in Israel. As we come to this passage and this part of God's word, we recognize that we are considering aspects of the history of the people of Israel as recorded in God's word for us. And as we do so, and as we look back at history, we are able to affirm the reality of God's sovereignty. And we are actually encouraged to do this, not just as we look on the history of others, or even our own history, but even our present experience, to believe and to live in a manner and in a way that we recognize and affirm that God is sovereign in everything. And we do this with recognition to all that occurs and happens in our own lives too. There are many situations and experiences that we go through in life. Some of them may be incredibly challenging and difficult, and others may be very special experiences in our heart. Experiences where we can see God's goodness manifesting itself in very real ways, and especially in terms of the relationships that we've been involved in. And if we look at this in the right and correct spiritual perspective, then we are encouraging ourselves to give thanks to God for the good and the godly influences in our lives. To give thanks to God in the many different ways He has helped us, but also in the way that He has sent other people to help us and to benefit our lives and to make things better for us. We're conscious of this not just in a personal way, but also in a general way in our communities and in our nation too. Examples of people who have benefited our spiritual lives or benefited even our ordinary lives, and especially with regards to the examples of grace, the people who have nurtured and encouraged faith in different ways. When we come to Judges, we're really dealing with those who governed and ruled in Israel. It was a particular time in the history of Israel. It came at these moments that were between the governorship and the rule and the judgeship of people like Moses and Joshua, who led the entire population, and prior to the final judge, Samuel, who brought in the monarchy and who anointed Saul and then David as those kings over God's people. It's a point where we see a great deal of transitions of power. We ourselves, in one respect, have seen transitions of power in our own nation. We see that the role and the office of Prime Minister has moved swiftly in the last few years from one to another to another. And yet in the same token, there is something rather unique in what has happened over the last couple of days, and especially yesterday, where a new monarch has been appointed in our nation, that this is something for many of us is strange and unusual after having one monarch reigning for just 70 years. The transitions of power have to be, because life is brief, and kings rise and fall, and queens rise and fall, and empires and kingdoms do as well. Except for one kingdom and one king, eternal in nature and character. For Israel, looking back at the judges and looking back at kings, there is the recognition that discernment can be used in order to understand whether this person has been a good influence or a bad influence, to think of the effect and legacy of their reign, and to see the influence that has been had. When we come to this woman in particular, Deborah, she is rather unusual because she is a female ruler. But she is also a little unusual in the book of Judges because she is the most commended of all the judges, and she had the best spiritual influence in the land. It's right for us to pay tribute to Deborah. It's right for us to take tribute and honor to those whose rule was good and whose governorship was positive and spiritually encouraging. We see that she takes this name for herself, and we ought to reflect on this a little more as well and what is involved in it, because this has become a familiar phrase to us in the church, the mother in Israel. And we've used this not just for those who rule in this kind of way, but the people and the women especially in the church who have had a gracious and godly influence for good upon God's people, who have made such a deep impression upon God's people that they have had a great encouragement and a blessing to the people of God. We reflected on this a little on Wednesday evening. We thought of that man in the book of Acts, who's just a simple reference to him, Mnason, who was spoken of as an old believer. And he is there as an exemplary Christian who encourages other Christians and who encourages the church. And we made reference again to Psalm 92, the believer who has matured in their faith, been seen like an oak tree, and they're full of sap in their old age. It shows us the picture of those who are matured into godly and gracious examples and been a benefit and an influence of good. The good old believer rising up in our life, rising up in our churches, rising up in our nation, and enabling what is good and having a positive influence upon us. We ought to take every opportunity to give thanks to God for such lives, to think of the impact it has had upon us and the encouragement for our souls and the debt that we owe. I think here in this song, there is an element of which we could utilize these words as a tribute and honor to Deborah and to those like her, mothers in Israel. Let's consider then briefly just a couple of things in this regard. And first of all, I want us to recognize what she says about herself. In verse 7, she uses this word, arose. I arose, Deborah. And she's speaking here primarily of her position as judge. And this whole concept of her arising in this manner and arising in this way is the language that the judges and rulers use of themselves. It is the ascension. It is taking that position that belonged to Moses and Joshua, judicial leadership that is given. We're told of her in chapter 4, we're introduced to her. We're told that she takes her place. In chapter 4 and verse 4, she's a prophetess judging Israel. In verse 5, she sits under the palm of Deborah. And she takes her place and she follows this legacy of men like Moses and Joshua, who themselves presided over the cases of the people of Israel and sought to be peacemakers and peacekeepers, who sought to be a good influence and an encouragement. And the reign of the judges continues until Samuel, the prophet, who brings an end to the judgeship when God calls him to anoint Saul as king over Israel. Deborah has arisen to this position. And in some regards, there is a sense of which she follows what we understand of Esther when Mordecai says to her, for such a time as this. You've come for such a time as this. And so this is, in providence, her appointment, that God has raised her into this position to recognize that she ascends here into this role and into this reign and into this rule. And she does so in a particularly difficult time. It is her desire to do what is good. It is her desire to be a good and positive spiritual influence. But all around her, we recognize how difficult a day it was, and how difficult it was for herself too. She is arising and ascending into this position in a man's world. In a man's world. It is unusual for her, with regards to her gender, to take this role. But you'll notice in the book of Judges how it's emphasized in verse 4 of chapter 4. Deborah, her name, feminine, prophetess, not prophet, wife, and she's judging Israel. So there is an emphasis here to remind us that this is a woman who is rising to this position, and to recognize how unusual it was. And yet within herself, she is qualified. She is a capable woman. And she is led by the Spirit, one who is a prophetess, which means, of course, that she is speaking the word of God to the people. She becomes a leader. It is not something that she has sought for herself. She has spoken of herself as a mother in Israel, but now it says she arose. It's unusual for her, because what we realize is that the role of leadership is common for the man in the home and in the marriage. Yet here she is taking this role as a judge. One of the older commentators says that she's a woman of extraordinary knowledge, wisdom, and piety. She engages in her duty diligently. She is to be found under the palm of Deborah. It's easy to find her. You don't have to go searching for Deborah. She is there ready and willing to engage in her duty. She is devoted to the role that she has ascended to. And if you want to find her, she is there under the palm of Deborah. Now, the word Deborah here in the palm, maybe with reference to herself, maybe it's part of her habitually being there, and they just make the reference, this is her palm. But it may also be the woman that she's named after. She's named after, of course, the nurse of Rebecca. And a sense there of the realization of the people of Israel, the honor that they had for that nurse of Rachel, and Deborah there was kept in such high regard. The period in which she arose into this position was a difficult period. What we see in the book of Judges is a moral and spiritual collapse of society. It is a difficult day. The nation is under assault, under trial and temptation, and facing crisis after crisis. This is recorded for us in chapter 4 again. In verse 1, the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Then in verse 2, so the Lord sells them into the hand of the king of Canaan, and so they are oppressed in that manner and that way, in the sense of which this is a repercussion for their desertion of the Lord, for their backsliding and their apostasy. It's a very difficult day. We understand this as we read through the book of Judges, and where we have this constant emphasis that the people did what was right in their own eyes. This is a people who have an independent spirit. They're looking out for themselves. There is a selfishness, and it leads to a confusion and a breakdown in society. And she stands quite different to the whole community. Rather, she is an image of selfless devotion of sacrificial duty, of committing ourselves to be an exemplary judge despite the darkness of the day and the period. The land is in turmoil. The land is unsafe. She says this herself in verse 7. The villagers ceased in Israel. They're too scared to go out in verse 6. Travelers kept to the byways. In verse 8, the new gods were chosen. They're filled with idolatry. They're filled with this reckless behavior and this selfishness and consumed in their sin and their wickedness and estrangement from God. And into this day, for such a time as this, and into this period, Deborah arises. God provides a spiritual woman for the nation to lead them and to give them a different example, a good example. She fills a void. She fills a void because the men were supposed to lead. They're supposed to lead in their marriages, in their homes, in their churches. But when there is a void of those standing up to take the role that belongs to them, we have a problem. And the void is here, but the opportunity comes to Deborah. She is going to do what others are failing to do. And God gives her this opportunity. And it is God in his providence that has sent her for this moment and given her this opportunity. She will be the positive influence no one else is willing to be, and to stand up with courage and commitment to undertake the task to be a mother in Israel. We think of that term, mother in Israel, and we think of it such a high term, of somebody we esteem spiritually. But yet she is using it in its first instance in Scripture to speak of how ordinary she is, the ordinariness of where she has come from, that what she's been involved in up till now is domestic duty, just a mother in Israel. But that is itself a high office. And yet she is brought in to the highest office in the land, taken from that domestic situation in order to bring her influence, in the sense of which she is esteemed in this way. Because what we see in her is a sense of consistency. What she was at home, she will undertake to be in the land and in the reign in Israel. A faithful wife becomes a faithful leader. Gracious, spiritually mature, devoted to serve, there in order to help others and to do good and to be a positive influence. We see that she has ascended to power, but secondly, we see this aspect of her spiritual motherhood. The defining moment, of course, that we have of Deborah's reign and judgeship is recorded for us in chapter 4 and then recorded again in chapter 5, this time in song, and it is the defeat of the Canaanite army. And what we have really in the song, as we have here in verse 1, then sang Deborah, and really it is Deborah that is singing. You realize this in the language that is employed, that it's her that's singing. She sang this song, a song of praise, a song of joy, a song in which she is affirming God's goodness to his people, cursing the enemies of God's people. It's Deborah that sings. The word or the name Deborah means honey bee. She is there giving the advice to Barak, the commander of Israel's army, and he's going to go out to battle the army of Canaan. And he pauses, and Deborah's asking, why is she pausing? Why is he paused? And he says he wants her to go with him. And she goes with him in verse 10 of chapter 4. She stands with her people. She is not some distant ruler. She is there with them in the battle. She is there with them in the challenges that they face. She is not there just to give some cold advice. She is engaged and involved. In verse 9, my heart goes out to the commanders of Israel who offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. My heart goes out. She's involved in this way, invested in them. And she is here as the bringer of peace to bring rest to the land in verse 31. The land rested for 40 years, a whole generation of peace through what she has done. And we know here that her song is filled with praise. Praise for God. She is unashamed in her affirmation of what God has done for her and the people. And she displays herself in this role and in this duty as an exemplary servant. For herself, she says, I arose as a mother in Israel. Once more, of course, this language is used in Scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 19, and speaks of a city of Abel. And it's a mothering city because some of the towns or villages around are dependent on Abel. And it's a mother, and it's spoken of in that way in its prominent role. She speaks of this in terms of the character of her rule. She is a leader, a prophetess, a judge. And the kind of rule she has is like the rule of a mother. This is what she is to the people. She has this motherly care. Her spirit is one that nurtures. She, as we've seen in verse 9, she gives her heart. She's involved in this way. The care of a mother is protective. It is loving. It is enabling. It's there to nurture and nourish when it is displayed correctly and properly. It is not to be dominating. It is not to be domineering. It is not to be selfish. It is not the role of a tyrant. Rather, it is careful. And it pours itself out and it invests for what is good and to display a sense of legacy. She is giving the best of examples. This is the best example she could have given to the people, to be like a mother, to have this kind of care for them and this love, and to bring it into her office and into her role and into her reign. And what we know is that we utilize this language to speak of women in the church who are mature and gracious examples of godliness, who have a spiritual impact upon the lives of others, quietly nurturing the people of God, looking for babes in Christ, investing in them, praying for them, giving them a good example, investing the word of God into their lives, encouraging them in the way that they ought to live. We saw this even on Wednesday with Manasseh, where he himself opened his home, showed hospitality in order to be showing grace to others, but also to be an example to the people of God. This is how you live. This is what the Christian life looks like. This is what spiritual people in our lives who have that kind of influence upon us have done for us. You remember how Paul speaks to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And Paul is reminding there to Timothy the tremendous spiritual privilege that he had. A godly grandmother. Somebody who prayed over his little soul as a child, who became a constant to him, who became an influence of good to him, a godly mother, nurturing him in the ways of faith. But this is not about natural bonds. This is about spiritual bonds, about these kind of ties that encourage one another across the generations within the church and in the kingdom of God and in our communities too, across churches, one another who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the godliness of mothers in Israel in our communities, in our lives, in our souls, investing in what is good, investing in spiritual children. What a wonder, what a privilege to recognize there the tremendous benefit of seeing up close godly character in mature Christians and the impact that they had upon us. When they embraced their opportunity and they saw that they were here for such a time as this, for such a time as this in our lives and in the lives of others, for such a time as this, taking the opportunity that God had given to them in their providence to invest in their precious souls and to point them to Jesus and the love of Jesus, to constantly show them in that spiritual maturity the exemplary Christian life within the community, and even further afield, that we can see this in people whom we've seen from afar, in the manner in which Deborah displays herself here too, that she is to be a mother for the whole nation, not just a mother in Israel, but a mother of Israel, in such a difficult sphere where so many things are against her. It's relatively easy to have our own wee corner and to say what we want in our own wee corner, and to dissect things and criticize things and to engage in that way. But when we are in two positions, there are different pressures, and especially in the political sphere, there is a tremendous amount of pressure. How we ought to be praying for those in such positions and praying for God to raise up Christians in such positions. For all around them is these ungodly influences and ungodly appetites. Not just the way that they live their lives, but also the fact that they do not want to give oxygen to the Christian gospel. Hasn't it been quite remarkable over the last few days where you have had people, reporters, journalists, newscasters, who have had to mention the Christian gospel. And over years you've watched these people and their hostility to the gospel and their desire not to give it any oxygen. And there they are having to admit something positive and good about the Christian gospel because one person died. And they left a particular aroma. And they had a particular legacy and influence that could not be denied. Ought we not to see that we are here for such a time as this? That it isn't just for us to constantly take, but to give. For us to mature in terms of our spiritual responsibilities. You've been tremendously blessed. There have been many mothers in Israel in your life who have impacted your life, who loved you and cared for you, who at the end of a night would bow the knee before a holy God and mention you in the throne room of God and pray for what was good for you. We ought to be thankful for all the legacies in which there was this unwillingness to compromise, to endure and to run the race to its end. But is it not time for us to take our place and to be that influence of good, and to be stopped being so apologetic for what we believe, making excuses and shying away. God has raised up people in our life, raised up people in our villages and in our families, raised up people in our nation who have had a lasting spiritual impact and legacy in our own experience, and have left that influence of Christ that is still so clear and evident to us. Can we not do the same? Can we not be like that? To give ourselves fully and completely for the Lord's cause, humbly seeking to serve Him, and to do it in this way, my heart goes out. My heart goes out. Not a cold religiosity, but something that is rooted in love. I feel that the sense of what Deborah is saying to us here is, she did all that she could. And she didn't fail to speak of the Lord, even though all around her didn't want to hear it. She spoke highly, and the Lord, the scripture gives her this high esteem. This mother in Israel, this great leader and ruler. Israel should have given thanks, as we must give thanks for all the good influences. And we ought to try and understand that whatever station we are in life, we ought also to say and wish to say at the end, we did all that we could. Friend, we know that one thing is needful. It is Christ, and to live for Him, and to live well for Him. And at the end of life, that if we have lived well for the Lord, we will be with Him forever. The high exaltation and blessing of the Lord. May we give thanks for what we have received from other people, but may we comprehend and understand our own responsibility too. May we give thanks this evening for Deborah, who arose as a mother in Israel, and for every mother in Israel who has done our souls good. And may we understand the challenge that stands before us in God's sovereignty and in our own providence to do all that we can. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we bless you for your kindness, for the people who have made life better for us. We think of how our own Lord spoken in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and in the application thereof, that we are to be the salt and light of the world. Help us to do this, and even when there is much criticism and difficulty and negativity, and even when we are let down and criticized by others, help us, Lord, to still seek to do good, to be the light and the preservative, and to speak of you. We pray that you would loosen our lips to declare your kindness and your goodness and your majesty, and to proclaim the great name of the Lord. Help us to invest in one another, to care for each other as Christians, and to display that love for the Lord. Forgive us our sins, then, we pray, and all we ask is in Jesus' name. Amen. Our concluding item of praise is from Psalm 25, and this is as we have it in the Scottish Psalter, verses 12 to 14 of the first version of Psalm 25, which is on page 232. Page 232, verse 12. What man is he that fears the Lord and doth him serve? Him shall he teach the way that he shall choose and still observe. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his posterity shall flourish still, and on the earth inheritors shall be. With those that fear him is the secret of the Lord. The knowledge of his covenant he will to them afford. These verses 12 to 14 from the first version of Psalm 25 on page 232. We're standing to sing. We'll remain standing for the benediction, and you can leave immediately after the benediction.
What man is he that fears the Lord and doth him set? Him shall he teach the way that he shall choose and still observe. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his posterity shall flourish still and of the earth in heaven.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.